So should Christians across the nation be concerned about the discrimination against churches taking place in New York City? You better believe it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Tell me if this is not the truth. Or tornado takes place, wipes out houses, kills people in another part of the country, but, well, I'm okay. It didn't affect me. Some dread disease breaks out in another country somewhere, and people are killed by it, and it's sad. It's a tragedy, but, hey, we're okay. We're healthy, so it doesn't really affect me. Isn't that the way we often live? Bad news somewhere else. Nothing I need to be concerned about. Friends, that's not a healthy attitude, nor is it a compassionate attitude, nor is it a righteous attitude. We got a lot to talk about, including some politics later in the program. But first, our focus is going to be discrimination against churches in New York City. Why we should care about that across the nation. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call to get into the conversation. Oh, yes. There are going to be some subjects I bring up. You're going to want to get involved in the conversation. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. By the way, we had a great response yesterday as Keith Collins and I talked about the training going on at Fire School of Ministry here in North Carolina, what our grads are doing around the world, what the real gospel is. We had a wonderful response. It's not too late to follow up if you jotted the number down yesterday to find out more about your potential involvement getting trained and sent out for the gospel. Okay, I have on the phone, waiting to join me, Councilman Fernando Cabrera and Pastor Dimas Celebrarios, and they are actively involved in a very important situation. We just need to reconnect with Councilman Cabrera. That was my bad. We've got Pastor Dimas on the line here. New York City has recently ruled that public buildings, school buildings, things like that, that have been used for church services for many, many years and are used for church services all across America, can no longer be used for this. And surprisingly, many Christians in even New York don't seem to realize the significance of this. It is blatant discrimination against churches in New York. There's going to be a march taking place April 22nd. We'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. But Pastor Dimas, could you tell us exactly the impact of this on many churches across New York? Why this is really a very serious situation?
Well, this is such a serious situation and concern is because we know, as you know and most listeners know, that you know there's no plan to stop there. I mean, the first week that the Supreme Court waived the right to deal with the case, they instantly, you know, started to call around to community centers and saying in other public places that we're going to stop renting the churches. And that's actually how I dived into the fight, because right away I said, no way, my church is in the housing projects. You know, we're seeing lives transformed there. We eliminated homicides from the community for 7 years now strong, and we're like, you're not going to put us out. So we know this is an aggressive attack, and it was done. They were trying to do it so quickly that a majority of those churches were not going to have space to meet at. And the way that we view it is kind of like, you know, just little holes in the levee for the floodgates to come pouring in. And I got reports already via phone call that Newport, Newport, Virginia is the area that they're trying to do this in. We got calls about Hawaii is trying to do this because they heard that it was, you know, going to pass in New York.
Yeah, I mean, listen, friends, what happens in New York does not stay in New York. This is a serious issue. We come back, I want Councilman Cabrera to weigh in on this, and we'll talk about what we can do as believers. What should we do?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Yes, we are a national radio ministry, by internet international, but we're on stations across America. But we often focus in on things happening in particular locations that are of concern to believers across America. And what stays in, what happens in New York does not stay in New York, as we know. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it." I'm joined on the phone now by Councilman Fernando Cabrera in New York and Pastor Dimas Celebrarios as well. Councilman Cabrera, how is it, sir, that the courts actually decided in favor of New York City's decision to ban churches from using these public facilities? I mean, they've been used for years, and the Supreme Court ruled years ago, 9-0 in the Lamb's Chapel case on Long Island, that these public buildings could be used for religious purposes. What did the courts do? How did they get out of this?
Actually, the Second Court of Appeal has been the only court of appeal throughout the United States to rule in favor of the Board of Education. But let me be clear what they rule, their ruling and was that they were allowed the Board of Ed to decide whether they should allow houses of worship in or out. They were not mandated, but the mayor took it upon himself to go ahead and to evict these houses of worship. But we had a victory. We had a victory. It was brought back to the federal court, and Chief Judge Preska rule in our favor, so the churches are back on, but only a temporary basis, because it's going to go back to the Second Court of Appeal. Then if we lose there, then it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and we're not sure whether the Supreme Court is going to pick up the case. This is why it's essential that we pass a state law, and we were successful at the state Senate. It was a blowout, 55-7 in our favor. And we're just waiting right now for Speaker Silver to allow it to come to the floor. So I'm asking everyone to call 518-455-3791. That's 518-455-3791. And ask Speaker Silver to allow it to come to the floor, because we know we're going to win in the Assembly as well. But we have to allow democracy to flourish and to allow the Assemblymen to go and Assemblywoman to go ahead and vote.
All right, a question then. We're not asking for you to judge what's in someone else's heart, but from what you understand, from comments that have been made, from stances that have been taken, why does the mayor take this stand? What's his motivation for it? Surely he gains nothing by alienating the religious communities of New York City. What would be motivating him from what you understand, Councilman?
Well, he has a humanistic, secular approach towards government and relationship towards churches. He believes the churches should only be within the four walls of their own buildings. But we have seen an aggressive attack against churches. Look, recently, every nonprofit now, starting this June, is going to be obligated to pay for garbage removal. We have never had that, and I have a bill alongside with Councilmember Greenfield that's going to stop that. And we have seen in 9/11, we saw how he excluded clergy. We were the only ones not allowed to be there. Mm-hmm. And imagine a memorial service.
Yeah, the 10th anniversary, yes.
10th anniversary. And so I could go on and on with tax issues. Right now there's 600 houses of worship and nonprofit organizations that are at risk of losing their tax free exemption right now. And he just implemented that after years that was not enforced. So, mm-hmm. I mean, all of this, what I just mentioned, just occurred in the last 6 months.
Really?
So there is a clear agenda. And then you have the ACLU who's behind as a force trying to stop us from
this law from moving forward and becoming a reality. But we're the only large district in America that has this policy. But I do fear that it's going to become a contagion, viral thought that it is okay to do this to the houses of worship. And as you heard, right, Pastor Demas, it's already happening.
Yeah, and again, we understand there are plenty of places around the world where believers have to meet secretly. They have to meet in houses. We understand that the church is not a building. We understand the church is the people. And the great emphasis is not only going to church, it is more on being the church. But this is flat out religious discrimination. And it is trying to marginalize the churches in many, many ways. And it's important to gather together. And in many cases, the only way to do that is in a school building or community center. And if they can get the school building, the community center could be next. Well, let me play the devil's advocate with Pastor Demas. Why are you involved in these political things, man? Just preach the gospel. Just go after the lost. Just win people to Jesus. Just make disciples. Just care for the poor. This is such a distraction of your time and energy, man, to get involved in political activism and to call for marches and stuff like that. You should just be preaching the gospel. What do you say to that, sir?
Well, I would say to someone that, you know, one of our main jobs is to care for the poor. And the majority of the churches that will be ousted are in poor communities. And it's our service to stand against injustice everywhere. And we can see, you know, if this is to some degree, you know, like a harbinger as to what's to come in the apocalypse or something like that, then we'll be willing to yield to that. But I don't see evidence of that with God giving us victory every single step of the way. So our march is a prayer march. We're not going to be out there, "We dislike the mayor," and all those kind of things.
You're not going to be chanting. You're not going to be chanting political slogans.
It's going to be a right to worship prayer march with an incredible concert with Jaime Morrell, with Permiso, Cassandra, Andy Mineo, Maya Amada, Tiffany Michelle, Sheena Lee, and worship bands. It's going to be an incredible time for the body of Christ to show. We're live in New York City. And we're here strong, and that's the real issue. The church in New York City is thriving, and atheism is suffering bad in New York City. They're not growing. They can't even mobilize to do large service projects. So that's what this is. Let's slow down the growth of the Christian church in a city that we deem to be the secular capital of the United States, but times have been changing.
So this is
lot of good work.
This is a great, and thank God there's so many churches in New York that have been growing, that have been thriving, that have been making an impact, and either it's being denied or it's being marginalized, or where the church has not been as strong, that's pointed out. So this is a great opportunity for believers in New York to come together any opportunity you have to come together for righteous cause and to worship and pray together. Man, people should do it. So we've got just 2 minutes now. Tell us again, very briefly, this March, April 22nd, what do people in Greater New York need to know about this?
They need to know that this is a large body of Christ movement, from the small church to the mega church to the house church. Invite your in-laws, your outlaws. Let everybody come out on Sunday, April 22nd at 2 p.m. We're going to meet on the Brooklyn side of the Brooklyn Bridge at Cadman Plaza. Then at 3, we're going to march over the bridge. We're going to meet at City Hall and come prepared to have an encounter with God, because it is going to be incredible.
All right. And is there a number any people can call to find out more about this?
Yes, they can dial 347-590-2874.
All right, give it one more time, please.
347-590-2874.
All right. And Councilman Cabrera, go ahead with more information and then the number to call again for the legislative issues, please.
Yes, and they could go to righttoworship.com. All of the phone numbers are right there for all the assembly members, for Speaker Silver, all the information regarding the event, righttoworship.com, or if they prefer on Facebook, Churches in School page.
All right, perfect. Brothers, thank you for this. It stirs my heart to just think of God's people coming together, not in anger, not in malice, not in the political spirit, but to say, hey, we're all about Jesus, and we're moving forward, not backward, and we are taking ground by changing lives, by glorifying Jesus, by making a difference. And Pastor Demas, I was supposed to be at your church in the Bronx a couple weeks ago. I was sick and had to cancel out, but I'm just saying it on radio. You got my word, man. I will be there. Brothers, keep up the great work. We are standing together with you across the country. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, friends. What happens in New York does not stay in New York. Let this testimony spread across the nation. Back with a lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Look, it is important that we stand up for what is right. Otherwise, we will find ourselves not just in apathy, but we will find ourselves paralyzed. We will find ourselves in a position we never dreamed of being in. So when there is discrimination against the church community in New York, believers in New York need to stand up and address it, because no one told us to go in the closet and shut the doors, friends. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There is no New Testament command to go in the closet and shut the door behind you. To the contrary, we're told to hold our light out so everyone can see it, to live out our faith in a consistent way, to live out our faith in ministry of good works, to live out our faith in exposing darkness, to live out our faith in personal purity. And when people, in this case, New York City and the mayor, say, well, you're not welcome in public buildings, by the way, the bizarre ruling of the court, the Court of Appeals, said, well, there's a difference between worship and teaching, so the teaching is okay. It can't be used for worship. Are you kidding me? Come on. And then but there's still not a mandate. The mayor could have just said, well, fine, use these buildings. Why wouldn't you want the churches to use these public buildings? What would be the motivation not to? It's not influencing what's taught in the schools during the week, is it? No. Come in, set up, take things down. They're paying rent for using buildings. It's positive in that sense. And then it's a place in the community where they can rally together and often make a greater impact in the community where they live, where many of the people live and come together. Why oppose that? Say, well, I don't know if I'd get involved. Of course, get involved. Why? Because we stand up for what's right. We stand up for what's good. We stand against injustice. And as Pastor Demas pointed out, most of the churches affected here are poorer churches. They don't have their own facilities. And in the New York area, it's not so easy to have your own facilities. So it's affecting poorer churches for whom these public gatherings and meetings are important. Oh, I don't know if I should get... Of course you should get involved and speak up and do what's right, especially when it appears from what Councilman Cabrera was telling us that this will have an overwhelmingly strong positive outcome if it is voted on by the elected officials. 866-34-TRUTH. James in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks so much to the two of you for your fight on this. I wanted to make two brief comments.
Sure.
The first one was concerning us getting involved in the legislative process, and I believe that we ought to get involved. For one, this country has led the way on missionary work across the world, and any time that they can attack on us within our own borders and get us on our heels here, it's going to affect the world outreach as well. And so I think it's a strategy to take us from the position of the offensive to a position of the defensive. And so we need to continue to fight and get involved in the legislative process. But I wanted to encourage listeners of what's been happening in Harford County. There's a story of an individual church that had gotten removed from a school. And
yes,
another
sir.
Church opened up its doors to this other church.
Yeah, and by the way, these are the fellow who opened up the doors of his church building. He's a grad from our school of ministry. We were talking about our school yesterday. He's a grad, and we plan to be doing some meetings there in July, and all the churches involved. But yes, the Episcopalian Church, by changing its doctrine by openly ordaining a homosexual clergy or a homosexual bishop, Eugene Robinson, the Episcopalian Church changed some of its views and stances, because of which other churches said, well, we can't cooperate with that, and they joined other Anglican fellowships so that they could be part of church groups that held to their convictions. And here's a historic church in the Virginia, D.C. area that has been a facility for many, many years. Well, now they're told by the courts, you got to get out of the facility, and you owe money because you've broken away. These are serious issues. And look, I understand that the church is not a building, but when you meet in a building, you use the building for various functions, it has multi-purposes, to be pushed out of it is very difficult and detrimental. So here's another church in the Virginia, D.C. area that's opened its doors and said, we'll share our facilities together for the gospel.
Fantastic. And I mean, what the enemy meant for evil, you know, we see countless examples throughout the Word of God. God can turn around and use for good. And I would encourage the churches to you know, that share similar visions, to open up their churches, make certain these people don't lose fellowship, and let's return back to the grassroots of the home fellowship at the same time while this gets battled out in the courts.
Yep, I'm with you on all points together. God bless you, James. Thanks for calling.
God bless.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I don't want to cut off any of you that are on the line now, and we're a little short on time, so hang in there, and we'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. What do you think of this quote by Dr. King? Do you think it applies? He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. Do you agree with that statement? And there certainly are evils in our society. What about the evil of abortion? What about the evil of human trafficking? Certain things you say, I don't know how to respond to this, but some we do. But we don't respond because it's either out of sight, out of mind, or because it's not affecting me personally and directly today, or because it's too costly to get involved. Friends, if we don't stand up for what's right today, we will find ourselves captive to what is wrong tomorrow. Again, we are encouraged by many, many, many calls that we received yesterday from folks wanting to find out more about Fire School of Ministry, our leadership institute that is raising up the next generation of revolutionary leaders. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Fire School of Ministry for more information. Again, those that apply to the school, you've got to be a serious, committed believer with a clear calling to leadership or ministry. Those who apply to the school and are accepted will be given $200 off tuition the first semester, but you must mention the Line of Fire. And friends, a great opportunity to sow into our work this week. We always look for ways to thank you and to bless you. For your gift of any size, we will send you a copy of the book edited by Sid Roth, They Thought for Themselves, 10 Amazing Jewish Stories, from Holocaust survivor to an Israeli miraculously healed through a Christian broadcast, to my own story, to a Russian pianist. Some amazing stories in here. A phenomenal book. Our thank you gift for your gift to us of any size. So stand with us. This is listener-supported radio, and together we're making a difference. Your gift of any size, I'll send you this book as my personal thank you. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Want it once more? 1-800-278-9978. Friends, don't stand back because you think you can't do enough. Do something.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I wrote an article called The Day of Silencing. Very important read. You need to know what's happening in your children's schools on April 20th. You need to call the schools and ask them, will there be a day of silence sponsored by the school? Are you participating in the day of silence on April 20th, a gay propaganda day in the schools, a gay indoctrination day in the schools? You need to call the schools and ask, friends. Read my article, The Day of Silencing. It's a day when other viewpoints are not welcome. The Day of Silencing. Read it on townhall.com. It'll be on the homepage through tomorrow morning. So read it, weigh in with your comments there, recommend it to your friends, tweet it to others so folks can know what is happening. 866-34-TRUTH. Just looked at one guy responding. Dr. Brown, this is on my Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. Dr. Brown, you are a bigot. No one shall judge but God, so take your holier-than-thou attitude and go elsewhere. God help these folks. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're talking about the discrimination against churches in New York City. We're talking about why this should be of concern to believers across America. And this is ultimately something that the mayor is pushing. And it is part, from what we understand, part of his secular humanist mentality, part of a mentality that would marginalize the church. And churches throughout New York, as in many big cities in America, are making an impact, are making a difference. And their presence is being felt, and their absence would be felt. And to push them out of public buildings is plain wrong. Plain and simple wrong. It is injustice. It is discrimination against believers. And it is right to stand together and say, we're going to stand for what's right. We're going to honor the Lord. And we will stand against being kicked out of these buildings legally and spiritually. Renee in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hello, Dr. Brown. How you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, I've been to three churches in this town here in New York visiting in the schools, and a lot of them, they're not really teaching, you know, the old-time way. I believe if they do it God's way, they won't have to be in these buildings, but they'll have their own buildings.
Now, explain what you're saying. I don't know that I follow you.
If they all the way, the Bible way, they won't have to meet in these churches. In these buildings, schoolhouses, the Lord will give them favor with banks and stuff where they can go and get property. Some of them have they add and take, you know, from the scriptures. I've been to three worship services in these schoolhouses. Three relatives invited me, and I couldn't wait to get back home.
Yeah, well, Renee, what you have to realize, is that whether a group meets in a school building, whether they meet in their own building, whether they meet in a house, that doesn't ensure that their doctrine is right or wrong. And you may have had some bad experiences, or it may just be different to your own background. But to say that, therefore, these churches are not doing the right thing, I think that's really making a judgment here based on just limited experience. And plus, the early church, they didn't own their own buildings. They were blessed by God, but they didn't own their own buildings. They just met in homes. So perhaps you just need to step back and reconsider this and certainly pray for these churches. We can agree on this. Pray for these churches to have the favor and blessing of God. Amen?
Yeah, and that if the pastors would teach and preach what the Bible says and not what they say, I'm sure they will get buildings. You'd be surprised. Some of them believe in second marriages. That's not of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, let me just say this, Renee. We got a break here. You hear the music. But there are plenty of churches with their own buildings that preach a lot of funky things as well, and plenty of righteous people without their own buildings. But thank you for the call. We'll be back with more.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Look, I am all for churches meeting in homes, believers meeting in every different setting that they can. I'm a friend of the house church movement when the house church movement is not critical of the rest of the body and elitist in its mentality. I'm a friend of the house church movement. I'm a friend of the mega church movement when the message is not compromised and when the gospel is preached. I'm a friend of every different expression in the body. And if people are put out of buildings and they have to meet in homes or on street corners or whatever, so be it. But there is no reason, there is no legitimate reason for churches in New York to be put out of these buildings. It is an unrighteous decree, for lack of a better word, an unrighteous ruling, a bizarre ruling, and even still the mayor could do what he wanted to do. And ultimately, with thinking people weighing in, this should be easily overturned, and a statement needs to be made. Look, if you don't have to meet in a cave somewhere, why do it? If you don't have to meet in secret, why do it? If you can meet publicly, if you can gather people together and rally them for a cause and make an impact in the community where you are, why not do it? 866-34-TRUTH. David in Queens, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello? Yeah. Listen, the last caller, I agree with you. There's no direct connection between correct doctrine and physical location. And so I do agree with you on that. I'm a Christian, African-American male, Democrat who supports the president in that order. I have a question for you about worshiping in public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's a group of Satan worshipers, maybe a witch's coven or whatever, and they want to meet in a public building because they can't afford to buy their own property, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of their meetings, whatever it is, they take up an offering for their leader. I'm not in favor of witches, covens, but under the Constitution, they have as much right to use public facilities as any Baptist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Should I, as a taxpayer, shouldn't I be concerned that I am supporting an institution, public school building, or some other public building, at which somebody who I don't even agree with is earning their income through a process which I support?
Well, let me ask you this,
Dave. I don't have any say in whether or not that person can have an orphan taken up for him, mm-hmm. okay, or her. But
all right, so David, just to jump in, very fair question.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you a question back. Since churches are tax exempt, if they're operating within the parameters that are set forth, so in that sense, you as a taxpayer are participating in these different churches. They have different doctrines or other religious groups that would fit within legal categories, would also be tax exempt. So this is a much larger question than just about use of public buildings. This is a question.
But the tax exempt situation covers people who, you know, they have their own property, but I have agreed constitutionally to allow the government to not tax them.
Right,
okay?
So they have benefits, and if they paid taxes, you could say that it would relieve some of our tax load. All I'm saying is that we have a number of laws in place that do give certain benefits to religious organizations. The other thing to realize, David, is that when the case first came out with Lamb's Chapel, which was a grad from one of our schools on Long Island that I was part of many years ago, when this case first came out, what had happened was a New Age group used a public building for meetings, and then this church was going to have a marriage series in the same building, and they were told you can't do it, because you're religious. So there was actually discrimination against them, whereas the building was made available to others. So that's the bigger issue here. As far as your specific situation, whatever applies to one religious group, if this is recognized as a religious group legally by the state, then they have to have the same opportunity as another religious group. If it was a Muslim group, if it was a Christian cult, if it was a Satanist group, if it was true believers, they still have to have the same rights. In point of fact, though, this is not applying to Satanist groups. It is applying to churches, and that's what we have to deal with.
You know, I just use that as a scenario because the argument should be valid regardless of who the group is if they claim they're a religious organization.
Yeah, as long as they fit certain legal parameters, we have to be consistent with it. I'm not keen on certain things happening, but we have to be consistent with that across the board. Hey, let me grab some other calls, but David, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. Carlton in South River, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you today?
I'm blessed, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. I love your show.
Thank you.
I called up because I do have a slight view of opposition. You know, whereas in America, there are equal opportunities for all kinds of groups, be it religious, be it ethnic, whatever. You know, but in the Bible, it does talk about when we're persecuted and when we're treated poorly to rejoice because they did that to the prophets who came before. Now, if they do this to us in America, you know, which, I mean, it's been a long time since there was any kind of persecution in America, as far as I know. You know, I mean, maybe this will wake up the church to, like, really band together and seek God, you know, for his favor. Because, you know, if the Lord doesn't do it, if it's done by the arm of the flesh, it will turn to rubble anyway.
Yeah, Carlton, I'm very sympathetic to the points you make, and let me just respond to them. First, what's being called for in terms of the march on April 22nd is a spiritual day. It is this very thing to say, here's a wake-up call for us. Let's go after the Lord. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's pray and worship publicly. So this is a rallying call to say, since this is happening to us, let's stand together as the church and go after the Lord and stand up. So I think we're in harmony on that. The persecution viewpoint question is very interesting. On the one hand, there's a certain type of persecution. David Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh's brother, wrote a whole book called Persecution a few years back, talking about legal cases coming against Christians all the time, talking about discrimination in the workplace, talking about other forms of persecution. The physical type of persecution, physical attack, being killed for the faith, that's still something very rare here in America, although very common in the rest of the world. But I see this a little differently. I see this as the same with Paul in certain situations when he's about to get whipped, like in Acts 21, and he says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. Or in Acts 16, when after they've been brutalized and suffer for the gospel and rejoice in the midst of it, he then announces his citizenship and basically, you know, the city has to get involved to talk with him about it. So I think there are times when we hold to the rights that we have here as Americans. If, in fact, we preach the gospel, we're preaching on a street corner, and we get beat up, well, that's for the gospel. However, the state will still get involved and arrest those people because they broke the law. So it's one of those situations, Carlton, where on the one hand, yeah, we don't just want to think anytime someone comes against us, resists us, persecutes us in any way, that we have to just somehow fight against it. On the other hand, this is a matter of having rights. This is a matter of righteousness. Aren't we also called to love righteousness and pursue righteousness and stand for justice, stand for what is right, stand for what is good? In this case, it is just religious discrimination, and there's no reason why we can't stand against it together in Jesus, in a righteous, godly spirit. And Carlton, I agree with you that if we do this with the arm of the flesh, it'll fail. And that's why we must look at this as a spiritual issue more than a political issue. And then on the political front, stand up for what's right and call our legislators to do what is right. By the way, I want to talk with you, but it's probably going to be the next hour, about the presidential race. So those of you wanting to call in, even if you're not going to be listening live, same number, 866-34-TRUTH. Things will be heating up right here on the Line of Fire. Change the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, we are all about the truth here. We are all about speaking the truth regardless of cost or consequences. We are all about standing up for righteousness regardless of cost or consequence. Not foolishly, not looking for a fight, not being troublemakers. We are peacemakers, not troublemakers. But as followers of Jesus, there will be confrontation. As followers of Jesus, we will be hated, we will be rejected, we will be misunderstood. Are we willing to stand up for what is right? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to talk politics in the next hour, but from a kingdom perspective. Rick Santorum is now out of the race. He would have been the person I would have been most likely to vote for personally. He's out of the race. There are many conservatives who do not feel good about Mitt Romney. There are others that are still supporting Mr. Obama. I'm curious to know where folks stand on these issues. So we're gonna talk politics, but from a kingdom perspective. In the next hour, it's not going to be Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It's going to be kingdom perspective conversation. I'll keep it there. And also some reflections I want to get into in the next hour on the firing of Bobby Petrino, head coach of the University of Arkansas football team, turned the program around, had them contending for the national championship. And then moral failure in his own life led to deceit and poor decision-making in his own life, which led to him being fired. Some things that we can reflect on as believers today. But I want to encourage you, friends, whoever you are, whatever your background, if you know Jesus, if you know the Lord, then you must stand up for what is right in your own circle of influence, in your own family, in your own neighborhood, in your own school, in your own congregation, your place of business, wherever it is that God gives you influence, wherever it is that God gives you a voice, stand up for what's right. Now, sometimes you need to pray for wisdom. Where do I stand? How do I stand? How do I have my influence? But every one of us, we are all called to be the salt of the earth. We are all called to be God's answer to preserve moral standards, God's answer to work against moral decay. Every one of us, rich, poor, young, old, healthy, sick, every one of us, whoever we are all called as followers of Jesus to be the light of the world. And look, you may have some lights that are really bright, like the high beams from a car. You may have some lights that are really bright, like the headlights on a plane. But most lights, just candles. But all those candles lit up and shining will make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. Danny in Houston. We lost Danny in Houston, Texas. But every call from Houston reminds me, all of my friends listening on KKHT, go to HoustonForMarriage.com and sign the petition calling on the mayor of Houston to stand up for what is right, to stand up for marriage, natural, organic marriage, male, female marriage, the way God ordained it, the way God intended it, the way that is best for society. The mayor of Houston, an open lesbian, is campaigning against that, campaigning for the redefinition of marriage, campaigning for same-sex marriage. And leading pastors in the city have said to her, "You're an elected official serving the people of Texas. Stand up for what we voted for in Texas. We have our marriage amendment in Texas that overwhelmingly passed that reinforces marriage as the union of a man and a woman. That means you need to uphold that. You need to stand for that." Will she do it? Go to HoustonForMarriage.com. I was reading a critique about me by someone that had been part of a school of ours years ago. And I found it very, very interesting that this person's views had shifted in many, many ways, sadly, in many, many ways. But this person claimed that, you know, I was going in one direction and then I got political. No, I've been going in the same direction for decades, hungry for revival, hungry for the reality of God in the church and in society, hungry to see God radically change us so we can radically go and change our world, hungry to make an impact in the nations, hungry to see the lost sheep of the house of Israel saved. That's been my lifestyle, my mentality for decades. I haven't gotten political. If I take issue with gay activism, it's because gay activism is an issue of righteousness in our society today. If I take issue with other things happening in our society, it's because they're righteousness issues and because my heart burns for revival and Jesus revolution. It's not getting political. It's standing for righteousness. I'm as involved as ever in sharing the gospel every opportunity that presents itself to me. I'm as involved as ever in raising up laborers and sending them out to the nations, the Great Commission. I'm as involved as ever in Jewish evangelism and equipping the body to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My heart beats for these same things, the idea that, well, you're getting political. No, it's not getting political. It's living out righteousness. It's living out the Great Commission. It's being a disciple and making disciples. That's what it's about. And this is when we get to stand and be counted. All right, we are out of time for calls. You can always weigh in with your comments on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Are you on our email list? Are you on our email list? No? Well, just go to AskDrBrown.org right on the homepage. Put in your name and email, and you'll hear from us on a regular basis. For example, you would be finding out tomorrow morning, here's where to go to read my article on the day of silencing gay activist propaganda in our children's schools on April 20th. You'd know about it. You'd know about new audio messages that we put up free online and resources that we have available. So go to AskDrBrown.org and sign up to be on our email list. It's free, and we will bombard you occasionally with edifying stuff. Yeah, once or twice a week you'll hear from us with edifying, life-changing stuff. And all of you that want to stand with us, this is listener-supported radio. We're so heartened by the calls, the emails, the words of encouragement. So I want to encourage you to stand with us. Together we're making a difference. For your gift of any size, my thank you, my personal thank you to you today is to send you the amazing book edited by Sid Roth, They Thought for Themselves, 10 Amazing Jewish Stories, including mine, a fabulous read. A life-changing read for Jew and Christian alike. My thank you for your gift of any size. Be as generous as you can and stand with us, but it's my thank you. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. From my bottom line, I repeat the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. Well, things are swirling in the political realm here in America. Where do you go for moral sanity and spiritual clarity? Right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to hear from you today. This can always get controversial. This can always get contentious, but we're going to walk through this minefield with wisdom. If the elections were being held today, who would you vote for and why? Talking about the presidential election. If the elections were being held today, let's just say the candidates are Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, as looks to be the case. Who would you vote for? Would you sit out the election? Would you vote for a third-party candidate? Would you vote for Mr. Obama? Would you vote for Mr. Romney? And why? Or you can't get into would you have a protest vote for Ron Paul? Or is Ron Paul going to be a third-party candidate? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I rarely ask these questions here in terms of who you're going to vote for, but as Rick Santorum has now dropped out, he would have been my choice in terms of who I would have voted for. Just curious to know where you stand. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about. I want to share some dialogue going on my Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page as well that is quite enlightening. I talked about an article that I wrote that is now on townhall.com called The Day of Silencing, and learned some serious lessons from the firing of Arkansas football coach Bobby Petrino over a scandal in his own life. A bunch of things I want to talk about, not to throw stones at Coach Petrino, but to learn some sobering lessons for ourselves as well. 866-348-7884. By the way, we had a terrific response to our program yesterday as we talked about Fire School of Ministry, our leadership institute that exists to raise up, train, send out the next generation of revolutionary leaders, world changers for America and the nations. We got a great response. You can still respond. We are still willing to give $200 off the tuition this next semester, the fall semester, for those that are accepted in our school and mention The Line of Fire. Let me give you that number to call again, 704-782-3555. That's our school number, 704-782-3555. There's no obligation when you call to do anything. There's no obligation to do anything when you receive the application packet. This is simply your way to take this next step. Okay. As on Facebook, someone posted on my personal page, we've got Rabbi Shmuley running for Congress. Why not Michael, meaning this Michael Brown, run for president as a write-in vote? I immediately responded, that would be a disaster in every way. I must stay absolutely in my calling, and my calling is not to run for political office. Some are called to. I am not. So just want to make that perfectly clear. So for the three votes I would have gotten, vote somewhere else. I absolutely do not support Mr. Obama because of his moral policies, because of his gay activism, because of his anti-abortion stance, because of certain ways an attack on religious freedoms. And I'm concerned about his stance for Israel. You may have a very different perspective. I want to hear from you. Now, you may not be a follower of Jesus at all. You may have different perspective entirely, but you're welcome to share it. You're welcome to share it. I am getting a lot of emails from conservatives blasting Mitt Romney. We'll talk about kingdom issues today. Sort these things through right here on The Line of Fire. We'll be back.
Fire we please, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, if the election was between President Obama and Governor Romney or potential third-party candidate, who would you vote for today and why? Do your beliefs, does your commitment to Jesus influence your voting? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, let me just say this. It's April. I want to assure you that as much as this stuff is going to be in the news day and night for the next 7 months, we are not going to be talking about this day and night. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, moral, cultural issues with Rick Santorum dropping out of the race. I felt it's appropriate just to address these things today. But this show is not and will never be a politically based show. And even in political discussion today, which is healthy and necessary, we're not going to be bashing people. We're not going to be attacking. If your purpose of your call is to attack and name call, sorry, that's not what we do here. But I do want to hear from you. I want to hear from different perspectives. I'm interested to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the phones, I wrote an article on townhall.com called The Day of Silencing, talking about what is coming to our children's schools, thousands of schools across America with perhaps as many as 500,000 kids participating, high schools, middle schools, perhaps even some elementary schools now. The Day of Silencing, read it on townhall.com and spread the word to your friends. You'll find it to be a very, very important article. And I received this note today from Lori Higgins from the Illinois Family Institute. They are leading the Day of Silence walkout. You can find out about that by going to doswalkout.net, DOS as in Day of Silence, doswalkout.net. She points out, in addition to the Day of Silence, these are all now gay activist-sponsored days. We also have No Name Calling Week, Spirit Day, Ally Week, Transgender Day of Remembrance, National Coming Out Day, and the newest public school campaign, it's all letters, OK For You To Be Gay, from the activist group, and it is H, the letter 8, so hate, S-U-X. Mm-hmm. Another day, another opportunity to spread gay activist propaganda in the schools, as opposed to simply promote treating everybody nicely, treating everybody with respect, being kind to people who are different. No, no, that's not enough. Rather than saying bullying is bad, the schools must say gay is good. Friends, time for us as Christians, as believers, to stand up and be counted. When I posted this article on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, a fellow named Josh responded, Dr. Brown, you are a bigot. No one shall judge but God, so take your holier-than-thou attitude and go elsewhere. I wrote back, Josh, please explain how I am a bigot, and also, do you submit to God's standards and judgments? Thanks for your response. And then I further said, also, Josh, this is my own Facebook page. Where would you like me to go? He wrote back, you are a bigot for judging others and trying to say what is right and what is wrong with personal choices. In the end, only God will determine who is right and who is wrong. You can't deny equal rights in a country built on freedom of speech and choice. I wrote back, Josh, aren't you judging me? By your definition, doesn't it make you a bigot? And if I simply state what Scripture states, how am I being a bigot? And if our country is built on freedom of speech, why are you trying to deny me my rights to freedom of speech? These are serious questions. If he writes back in response, I will tell you what he has to say. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we're going to talk about political issues, but we're going to do it in a Christian spirit. Yvonne in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Good, thank you. I guess I'm supposed to give my opinion about who I'd vote for.
Yes, and why, please. Yes.
Okay. I would vote for Obama. Obama professes to be a Christian. We're all invaluable human beings. And as a Christian, I've been taught that we're supposed to go to our sisters and brothers when we think they are doing something wrong, and explain to them what God expects. So I would expect as Christians we would go to Obama and do that if we think he has some moral issues, because he's not a theologian. And if you're a theologian, we need to go and explain to him, because he probably doesn't understand fully. He's representing his party. The other thing is, I wouldn't vote for Romney because I don't think, and I'm not a theologian, that a Mormon believes the same as we do about Jesus. And that's why I wouldn't vote for him, because I don't think the Mormons are the same as Christians. Now, so that's my reasoning.
Got it.
Right,
right
or wrong.
All know, right. So a couple of questions for you. And thank you so much for sharing that. If Rick Santorum was in the running, let's say he had gotten the Republican nomination and he is professes strongly to be a Christian, would that influence you then in terms of perhaps voting for him instead because he's got very strong stands on the sanctity of life as far as abortion, and he's got very strong stands that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, for example. So
yeah,
as a Christian also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So would that influence you if he was still a candidate, since you question Mitt Romney being a Mormon?
Right. That scares me, really. And I wish somebody would explain, somebody that's really understanding Mormonism would explain that to us better so we understand how to make a better decision. The other thing is, I wasn't sure about Rick Santorum. I believe that he's right in taking a stance morally. But I wasn't sure he would make the best president because he seemed to put his foot in his mouth a lot, I'll put it that way. And then the other thing is I really wish that Ron Paul could have won, had better votes. I really do, because he seems to be a sincere, average, everyday, compassionate person. And it's just a shame we didn't have him more in the running.
Yeah, well, his supporters are certainly deeply devoted to him, and I think they're more passionate about him than any of the candidates. Hey, Yvonne, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate
it.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay,
you got it.
Bye-bye.
866-34-TRUTH. Friends, I am not cross-examining folks. I may ask some questions for clarification, but let me throw this out to you. We've discussed this before. We've got listeners right now all over Utah with large Mormon population there. Does Mitt Romney's Mormonism affect you either way? I've said that would not be the deciding factor for me, that he's a Mormon. I understand others feel differently. Would that affect you? If he had the same views he had and it was an evangelical Christian versus a Mormon, would that get you voting for him if you wouldn't vote for him because he was a Mormon? Of course, if you are a Mormon, the fact that you could have a Mormon president, would that be meaningful to you? Would you vote for him because he's a Mormon? Or would you say, well, no, that's not the issue to me. Having a Mormon is not the goal. Having a Mormon as president. Just curious. 866-34-TRUTH. Dwayne in Sedalia, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you very much. I am 49 years old, and I'd like the opportunity to share something that excites me very much. Maybe the most powerful thing that I'm aware of that allows American citizens to have a significant impact on the electoral process, that is AmericansElect.org. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. So enlighten me and our listeners.
AmericansElect.org is a grassroots internet-based method of selecting a nominee. And it's outside of any party, but it's not a third party because the nominee could well be a Republican or a Democrat. It's just that it's done online through a series of nomination procedures, just like the parties go through up to a convention.
All right. Yeah, so I'm looking at the website right now. So let's just ask this on a practical level. Aside from someone feeling like they can have their voice and do what they want to do, how is this going to affect anything? How is this actually going to affect who the potential president will be?
Perfect question, yes. The whole gridlock in America right now is a lot of divisiveness and partisanship over party. This gives us a way to select a candidate without beholding to the party system, to the party structure, to the financing that the parties have as a monopoly or an oligopoly on our system.
All right, so just to jump in, and this is not to cross-examine, this is to understand. let's say you it ends up being a candidate who's either Republican or Democrat. Aren't they still part of that system regardless of how they got voted for?
Once they become nominated, the campaign and the way that they run, the platform they run on, of course, is certainly their choice. It's just a way to get them on the ballot, and our organization, AmericansElect.org, will have a candidate on a ballot in every state in America, all 50 states. But the other thing I wanted to mention was that whatever candidate is chosen by our delegation, they have to choose a running mate that is not of their party.
Okay. Well, that's another interesting twist there. AmericanSelect.org, throw something else into the mix. All right, phone lines are lighting up. We'll be back with all your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. As I said a moment ago, this show will not be politically based day and night, discussing politics, discussing presidential race, discussing what's happening with Republicans and Democrats, but we will weigh in on issues. We will address issues and we'll discuss them from a kingdom perspective. So this is one of those rare shows where I'm curious to hear from you. Let's assume that Mitt Romney is the presidential candidate. I would have voted for Ron Paul. For Ron Paul. I'm just looking at something with Ron Paul's name. Now all the Ron Paul followers are like, you see, I would have voted for Rick Santorum. He would have been my preferred candidate for a number of reasons. But he's now out of the race, so it's Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. That's what we're facing. Will you sit out the election? Do you feel passionately about one candidate or another? Would you still vote a protest vote for a third-party candidate? 866-34-TRUTH. Does the fact that Mitt Romney is a Mormon matter to you? Either way, I'm on record since before President Obama was even the presidential candidate, when he was still senator, having profound differences with his moral stance on homosexuality, on abortion, and questions about its stance for Israel, since those are the three biggest things I look at, put aside economy, put aside all these other major things, national security, major, major things, but just not my primary areas of focus. I could not vote for him or support him other than to support him as president, pray for him as president, but I could not back him or vote for him. I have many conservative friends who have grave, grave concerns about Mitt Romney, and claim that there is much deception and that he's really not conservative and really does not hold deeply to values. Others say, hey, anyone but Obama. We have to get rid of Barack Obama. And you might say, well, whoever comes in next is going to be electing certain Supreme Court justices. That's going to have a massive effect on our country. Others say, look, forget about it. Just go about kingdom work, and whoever's in is not going to be the answer. I appreciate all those different perspectives. Interested to hear from you, 866-34-TRUTH. Kim in Summerfield, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey.
Hello?
This is Kim.
Yes, go ahead, Kim.
Okay, the question is who I would vote for?
Yes, and why. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, first, as far as Mitt Romney, I don't like the idea that I didn't get a chance to vote to decide. I don't really like how the electoral votes work. I think that we all should have a say in who the candidate is. I am unaffiliated, so I'm able to vote in that or the Democratic, whichever one is, you know, primary is happening. But so anyway, I would vote for Barack Obama under the circumstances that Romney is the other option. And why is because I voted for Barack Obama the first time, and I am not disappointed in what he's done. I'm not saying I agree with everything that he's done, but I think he's the better candidate between the two.
Okay, and what are your own religious beliefs, Kim?
Well, my religious beliefs are that we are created by one creator, and I believe that we're fallen, and I believe that we need a Savior. And so, you know, I guess you call me a Christian. So,
all right, so just out of curiosity, the fact that, Mr. Obama has worked very clearly against certain biblical principles, does that concern you?
Well, I think it's, I mean, you're more of a expert on that than I am, okay, because I'm sure you've looked into it a little bit deeper. But I think that he is probably saying things that other people in the past, maybe even the previous president, wanted to say, but they don't because they're afraid to. So,
all right. Yeah, and I appreciate that. I just want to give time to other callers as well. I appreciate that he is taking stands that others wouldn't. The fact is there are stands that I differ with and deplore. But, yes, he is taking some of those stands, and obviously I oppose those stands. But thank you for weighing in. And, again, when I'm asking questions, whether I agree with you or not, I'm not out to attack. And some of you are like, no, you need to rip into these positions. You need to that's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing. I want people to feel free to weigh in with your viewpoint, and if I totally disagree with it, I'm not going to respond in a hostile way, okay? Josh in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how you doing?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Good. So I got a couple things to say, and I'll get out of your hair. A couple of callers ago, she was mentioning how she was frustrated that there wasn't a lot of information on the Mormon religion.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings up an excellent point as to what's going on in our country right now. You shouldn't have to wait to hear information. If you're interested in learning about something, you need to do your own research. You need to find it out for yourself. You shouldn't be waiting to hear the information. And the only other point I wanted to bring up about the Mormons being Christians, you can't say that a religion is a Christian when the name of the religion is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, now quick question for you, Josh. You realize, though, that you can name yourself anything, right? And that the early Mormons, and some still to this day, but the early Mormons regarded the rest of the church as heretical, and that the church had completely fallen away, and that Mormons were the only true ones. So, I mean, that you have to recognize. But quick question for you. You're a Mormon yourself?
Yes, I am.
All right, and this is not a critical question. I just want to know, honestly, does the fact that Mitt Romney is a Mormon influence your desire to vote for him?
Well, of course it influences my decision to vote for him. It's not the key decision. I honestly like Rick Santorum. I thought he was a good individual. He seemed like a good God-fearing man.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line, the thing that really made the decision for me is we need to start running this country like a corporation and not like a piggy bank.
Oh, okay. All right. So just to be clear, then, obviously you think Romney could do that better. But and again, we're short on time. Not being critical, but the fact that Mitt Romney being a Mormon is positive for you as a Mormon, is that because he has your trust as a Mormon, or because you would like to see a Mormon president for the good of Mormonism as well?
It has nothing to do with that. The only reason why I appeal to Mitt Romney in that situation is because I know that he shares the same beliefs that I have. That's
got
pretty
it.
Cool. I mean,
all right, hey, Josh, yeah, all clear. All clear, and trust me, plenty of evangelical Christians vote for evangelical Christians for that very reason. Like I said, it wasn't a critical question, just wanted to understand. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, we'll be back with all your calls on the other side of this break. Remember, friends, this is listener-supported radio. You are the ones that help us come on the air every single day. So I want to say thank you to for your gift of any size. Be as generous as you can, but call this number right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. And we will send you as our personal thank you this amazing book by Sid Roth. They thought for themselves 10 amazing Jewish stories. Mine is in here as well. Book with now 2 million copies in print. 1-800-278-9978. Back with your calls. Some other things I want to share as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking politics today, but the way we do it here on the Line of Fire. From a kingdom perspective, we are talking about why we are voting for who we'll vote for. If Mitt Romney is the Republican candidate, Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, would you sit out the election? Would you vote passionately for Romney, passionately for Obama? Would you vote for a third-party candidate just to make a statement? And why? And I am not here to attack other views. You know that I strongly oppose Mr. Obama's policies, his abortion policies, his homosexuality policies. I have concerns with his stance towards Israel. The economic issues, all that, yeah, those concern me, but that's not my area of expertise or focus as it is for others, rightly so, for them. I'm simply standing where I stand. I have concerns about Mr. Romney, and will he really represent the values that are important to me? I would have voted for Rick Santorum if the election had been tomorrow and he was a candidate, but I don't know that that's God's choice. I don't know. Just saying where I would have been at this point in time. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the calls, I want to play a clip for you that is circulating widely now. The famous news personality, Mike Wallace, just died at the age of 93. He has a son who's an anchorman on the news now. Died at the age of 93. And this is a clip from a TV show in 1967. I just want you to recognize how dramatically things have shifted in our culture today, to the point that if you say, you know, marriage is really a union of a man and woman, you're blasted as a bigot. If you say, you know, we shouldn't be bringing homosexual indoctrination into our children's schools, you're blasted as a bigot. I want you to see how far things have come from this news clip. Mike Wallace, 1967.
The Homosexuals, with CBS News correspondent Mike Wallace.
Homosexuality is an enigma. Even in this era of bold sexual mores, it remains a subject that people find disturbing, embarrassing, and the reluctance to discuss it. Yet there is a growing concern about homosexuals in society, about their increasing visibility. In preparing this broadcast, CBS News commissioned a survey by the Opinion Research Corporation into public attitudes toward homosexuality. We discovered that Americans consider homosexuality more harmful to society than adultery, abortion, or prostitution.
Isn't that remarkable? 1967, Americans consider homosexuality more harmful to society than adultery, prostitution, abortion. Now it's celebrated. It's celebrated by celebrities in America. It's celebrated in our schools. It's celebrated in political circles. And if you dare say, you know, I care for every human being, and I want every human being to be treated with kindness and respect, especially kids in school, but I differ with homosexual behavior based on scripture. I differ with homosexual practice. I'm not willing to redefine marriage because of people's romantic and sexual attractions, you get blasted. You get, think of how Rick Santorum was blasted over the positions he took. Things have changed radically. Friends, that's one reason I raise my voice. That's one reason I draw attention to things in the current administration that are so blatantly pro-gay activism. That's one reason I spent 6 years writing and researching A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's one reason I put my reputation on the line standing for what's right, because we're talking about the transformation of society with terribly negative implications in terms of family, morality, and freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls. Who would you vote for and why today on the Line of Fire?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I appeal to every parent listening right now? Every parent listening, you got kids in school, every grandparent with kids in school, school-aged children. Can I encourage you, all of you that have internet access, as soon as you have a break, go to townhall.com, townhall.com, and read my article, The Day of Silencing. You need to know what's happening in schools on April 20th. You need to find out if this is happening in a school near you. That's townhall.com, the article, The Day of Silencing. Michael Brown, welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Asking the question, if you were voting today, who would you vote for and why? Those of you who are expecting me to skewer those that I differ with and attack them, no, that's not going to happen. I'm asking questions for clarification, and that's basically it. Ron in Boone, Iowa, thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
Basically, I would vote for neither candidate, Mr. Obama nor Mr. Romney. I don't feel that that is much of a choice from some of those issues that I know that you regard as important. I do also.
Now, Ron, if there had been another Republican candidate, is there anyone you would have voted for?
Actually, for certain reasons, I would have been more likely to support and vote for Newt Gingrich.
Okay, that's fine. But as it stands right now, would you vote third party?
I would either vote third party or there's a gentleman, and I don't know if he is still serious about running, but it's another Democrat, Mr. Randall Terry, who was one of the architects of the pro-life movement.
Yeah, Operation Rescue. Yeah, Randall Terry's voice is more a protest voice to draw attention to abortion issues, of course, as opposed to a potential candidate. Mm-hmm. But, hey, Ron, all clear. I appreciate you weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Sheila in Honolulu, who would you vote for?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Sheila.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I'm so glad I finally got to say something on air. I would vote for President Obama, and I did vote for him the first time, only because I feel like, you know, even if you're Christians, I feel like there's, I listen to all these Christian stations and on Honolulu on KTU, and I feel like everybody picks on him, but he entered this, you know, race with all the bad things that's happening in the United States already, number one. But I know you folks are only talking about the abortion and Christianity point.
Well, no, that's
view,
just me. That doesn't mean others have to focus on that.
But on the abortion, you know, side, I think that's each individual call, because I know there's, you know, people that in the Christian race, that pastors or whatever that's high up there, they have family that, you know, does wrong. And I think that belongs only to the individual that would have to, like, maybe handle it themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. But
so if it is actually, though, if it's actually killing babies in the womb in God's sight, should the whole nation be concerned about that?
Well, but you can't change the nation. That's my point of view. You know,
oh, no, I understand so that. But whoever's elected president is going to have tremendous influence in that, especially who they appoint
then,
to the Supreme Court.
Then
and then the Supreme Court, those Supreme Court
just bring the prayers back in school and bring prayers back in America, because the bottom line is, I feel we should work all as one equal, you know, to get that part back in, because to me, that's the first most important, is to bring God back into this, to the United States.
Okay.
And then maybe after that, you know, we can work on issues, because as you know, we're at the end times, I feel. And so,
all right, but you
know,
feel that you feel that a vote for Barack Obama would help bring prayer back into the schools?
Well, no, because it's already voted. It's all like, I just feel, that's why I say, I just feel like this is the end times, because it's just all going backward. The world, to me, is getting worse, but everybody's just focusing on abortions and stuff because we're Christian.
Well, all right. But, oh, know, okay. Like, that got it. Like I said, if it's killing babies in the womb, that would be a big issue to me. Hey, Joe, I need your help right here. I've had a crash on my computer, so if you could just get me to my next caller, and I will take it from there. Thank you, or Andrew, whoever's going to jump in here. Wow, this is really interesting. I'm looking at my computer screen, and I cannot see who is on the line. So let's just go to our next caller here on the Line of Fire. Thank you for joining us today. Who would you vote for and why? Hello? All right, guys. Looks like we're having a little communication breakdown here. 866-34-TRUTH. let me just comment on things for a moment here. I want to encourage you, whoever you vote for, to think holistically and to think consistently. If you are a follower of Jesus, then I believe that should influence who you vote for and why. If you are a disciple, if you are devoted to Jesus, then that should absolutely impact the people that we vote for. That should actually absolutely impact our worldview. That should absolutely impact the decisions that we make, including the people that we vote for. I'm not saying that if you don't agree with me that you are therefore being inconsistent. I am not saying that whatsoever. I am simply suggesting that sometimes we vote based on our pocketbook, or sometimes we vote based on just people that we like, or sometimes we just vote based on political affiliation, historic. I'm a white evangelical, I vote Republican. I'm a black evangelical, I vote Democrat. I'm a Jew, I vote Democrat. Whatever the thing is, problematic. We need to think about issues, and we need to think this through. What if we lived in the days of slavery? Could it, and by the way, we have recovered from a complete phone system crash, so my profound apologies to those who were holding for a long period of time. If you didn't get right back because the phone lines have been jammed, my profound apologies. But, wow, this, is it alien? Andrew, is it aliens again? Is it aliens attacking the broadcast? I don't know. Maybe it's operatives from Mr. Romney or Mr. Obama or saboteurs from... No, I'm joking. But my apologies to those that we lost. Let me go right back to the phones. Let me say that I think we need to challenge ourselves all the time and ask, why do we do what we do? Why do we stand where we stand? I do. I challenge myself. I ask myself questions. I allow those that criticize and differ with me to challenge me. 866-34-TRUTH. Sharon in Roswell, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I will be voting against Obama, no matter who is running against him, you know. But I was for Rick Santorum. I really liked him, and I hate that didn't pan out. But, so I'll be voting for Romney, I suppose.
All right. Now, what if someone said that we're not going to have much of a change with Mr. Romney versus Mr. Obama, and maybe we just need to let things completely crash in society for the church to wake up? How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, I've got to do what I feel is, I have to vote for who I feel is the more, the man who agrees with what I agree with, and mm-hmm. not just let things... And you know, what I feel like is if Obama wins again, then, you know, it's in God's plan, because we are in these end times, and he's no friend of Israel. So,
right. So that raises concerns, yeah. the stance with Israel. All right. Hey, Sharon, I appreciate you weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Art in Norcross, Georgia. What's your stance?
Hey, Dr. Brown.
my stance is this. As having enlisted in the army of the Lord, shouldn't we inquire of God as to whether we should vote or not, or even whether we should vote for a particular candidate? And I don't hear anybody ever asking or indicating that they're, you know, really leaning in on the Lord, and the Lord is directing them on how to vote.
Something as important as the elected officials of our nation, you better believe we should pray and we should think about these things. I would say that many, Art, have a conviction that voting is part of our responsibility here in America, that voting is part of what's been entrusted to us, and that we should vote. But certainly we should ask the Lord about everything, and we should then vote accordingly and vote with wisdom. Back with your call. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. So as to get to as many of you as possible, I'm going to ask you to just be as concise as you can. All right? So I'm going to go right to the phones. I've got a few other closing comments I must get to, but we're still talking about who would you vote for and why. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. Michelle in Balmar, New Jersey. Who'd you vote for and why?
Hey, Dr. Brown, shalom, and God bless you. Hey, I have a question. What you think about this opinion? I certainly wouldn't vote for Obama. Let me just put that right out there. But my question for you is, I had this discussion with several people. They say that they wouldn't vote for either of the candidates. And my point is, you have to vote for one to block the other. So even though you may not necessarily like who was running against Obama, wouldn't it be better to give them the vote to block him from getting the presidency again? That's my question for
Michelle,
you.
Yeah, Michelle, if that was the conviction that anyone but Obama is the strategy, then yes, that is how you have to vote, number one. The main reason I would accept the anyone but Obama philosophy is primarily because of Supreme Court appointees. However, could it be that God has a plan for Mr. Obama to have four more years and that to be part of the church's awakening? That's a fair question to ask. All right. Let's see. Morris in Sarasota, Florida. Who would you vote for and why?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
Okay. Great. Mike, enjoy your show.
Thank
I would
you.
Probably vote for, and I'll try to be quick here, maybe a third-party candidate, if it was Mike Huckabee, like the last time you ran, or Ron Paul. I just think that both Obama and Mitt Romney are too much of a corporate-type presidents who walk the party line too much.
All right, and just for clarification, would this be in your mind a protest vote or the hope that this could actually influence politics in the future in America?
I think it's some of both.
Got it. Yep.
Yeah.
All clear. All clear. Hey, listen, let me just grab some other calls, but thank you. So in other words, yeah, a protest vote, but also saying we may need to think outside of the two-party box. Morris, thank you. Sorry I don't have more time today. Zia in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Yes. For me personally, I'm not voting for any of them. Basically, there's a saying, it's the same soup, just reheated.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter who is in office. If they go against the agenda of the oligarchs, they're going to be pretty much, I personally believe, possibly executed. So,
all right. So, okay, that last comment could generate other comments. But just real quick, was there anyone that has been a candidate that you would have voted for that you feel could break the system?
Only person is Ron Paul because he's going to abolish the Fed. That's about it.
All right. Yeah. So I thought you might have said that. All right. Zia, thank you for weighing in. Let's go to Anthony in Middletown, Delaware. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
No problem. Yeah, I'd have to go with Romney. I cannot link myself again. I did vote for Obama for other reasons, but I can't link myself again to a president or a regime that is for just the blatant killing of babies, that anti-marriage by giving welfare and giving welfare to women that just have babies and they want to keep having babies so they can keep getting the money instead of getting married. I can't link up with that system any longer. Got to get Obama out. He's been lying since the campaign.
All right, and Anthony, just real quick, do you have confidence that Mitt Romney would bring about change in those ways?
Yeah. He'll definitely bring about change because he's gonna be forced to do some serious cutbacks. So
Got it. And
by doing that, there will be change in those areas.
All right. All clear, sir. Again, sorry to be so brief with each of you, and I know you have more to share. Edward in Cleveland. All right. We lost Edward in Cleveland. Okay. This gives me just a little cross-section sampling. And feel free always to email me, share your viewpoint, post your viewpoint at AskDrBrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire. May I encourage you again to please go to townhall.com, townhall.com, and read my article, The Day of Silencing. Share it with your friends on Facebook. Tweet it via Twitter. Recommend it to others because it's very, very important to know what is happening in this regard. And for those of you that were on hold and you wanted to talk to me about why you're going to vote for Mr. Obama or why you're going to vote for another candidate or why you were supporting Ron Paul and you got cut off, we didn't cut you off. We did not cut you off. I was taking the phone calls in the order in which they came and we had a system crash. That's what happened. Okay, I wanted to address this. I've got to be very brief. Arkansas coach, football coach, Bobby Petrino, tremendously successful in the program there, was fired from his position. He was fired primarily for lying to the administration there, not telling them when he got in his motorcycle accident that he was with another woman, not telling married man with, I think, four kids, not telling them that the reason he hired this woman was because he had been involved in an illicit relationship with her. The university did the right thing in dismissing him. They had to for many reasons. And I feel terrible for anyone who now suffers this public humiliation and for the woman involved too and for Coach's family. But it's a reminder that sin is crazy, that sin is insane, that sin doesn't pay. It can seem so seductive, so appealing. It can reach out to us in so many ways. Oh, you need this. You have to have this. Don't do it. Sir, ma'am, if you're on the verge of an affair, if you're on the verge of making a sexually immoral choice, if you're on the verge of breaking the covenant you made before God and with your spouse, be it emotionally, be it physically, don't do it. Yeah, I know the power of sin. I know the power of temptation, but I tell you it's a lie. I tell you it's destructive. I tell you in the end, you'll say, what did I do? For what? For what? Here's a man whose career is tarnished. Oh, there could be deep repentance and he could really come to know the Lord and come out a different man. God can redeem this. But right now, his whole name, career, tarnished. Forget the loss of millions of dollars for the loss of a prestigious position and destruction, potential destruction of his family and shame. For what? For what? It wasn't worth it. And then once you sin, once you open the door sexually, then it opens the door to all these other things and clouds your judgment and causes you to do foolhardy things. Let's pray for repentance and redemption in this for all involved. But let's learn our lessons from it. Friend, just another reminder, if you value our voice here on the radio, stand with us. This is listener supported. And I personally want to send you a thank you gift. Write to us today. Call us today. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, be as generous as you can, but everyone get involved. Your gift of every size. Don't be concerned. Just get involved. 1-800-278-9978. My thank you to you is the amazing book edited by my friend Sid Roth. It's now got about 2 million copies in print. They thought for themselves 10 amazing Jewish stories, including mine, right here in this book. Your gift of any size, we will send it out to you as a personal thank you. 1-800-278-9978 or write to us at P.O. Box 5546. That's P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. And just mention the Sid Roth book when you write. My bottom line today, things are going to be heating up intensely in the coming months politically. Let us not get into a partisan political spirit. Let us not get into the flesh. Let us step back, find the mind of God, and act accordingly.